So after giving that like brief, very vague explanation, I kind of want to get into the corruption that is currently going on in the stock market right now.
Robin Hood is Robin the Hood.
Literally.
And we need to put a stop to it. What is going on, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode of the Saviors Podcast, your one-stop shop for all of your financial needs. Just a quick disclaimer, we are not liable for any actions that come from any advice of ours you choose to take, and any advice we do give is purely opinion-based. We are not financial advisors, and you should invest your money where you see fit. With that being said, I'd like to give the mic over to my good friend and co-host, Aiden Ford.
What's going on, guys? My name's Aiden Ford, legendary investor. Some of you guys might know me from the Banker Aiden Instagram. And pretty much is the podcast where we're going to talk about investing, entrepreneurship, business, yada, yada, yada. For beginning investors, people our age, pretty much anybody looking just to snag a quick buck, get rich, take financial freedom to the next level. So, Ross, you have just gotten into the stock market.
Yes.
And I think you bring a pretty interesting, refreshing opinion or perspective to investing. So can you kind of just take me through your headspace of how you're actually choosing to invest? Because I think your strategy is kind of underrated, and I think would give a lot of our listeners like a pretty good perspective on things.
Well, I mean, so I started literally 2 days before the whole thing with, like, GameStop and everything. Yeah. And we'll get into that later. But I did a ton of research and looked into investing in the stock market and where to invest and everything like that. And I still don't have a great grasp on it. So what I'm doing is I took $50 and I'm kind of like practicing with it on the stock market, and I invested 10 shares into one company, and it's not going great so far. But the reason I'm practicing is so that I didn't just throw caution to the wind and put $500 into that company, because then I'd be down a whole lot more. So I think for a lot of new investors, they just like read a couple things and then read where they like see a TikTok where they're like, oh, put your money into this, and they're like, okay, and then they just put a bunch of money into it. So I think take the cautionary approach to it is a lot more beneficial for short term and long term. So that's just where I am.
Because there's no rush to things, really.
No.
Especially if I'm guessing the majority of people listening to this are in like the high school, college age, right around there. So there's really no rush to that. That's kind of like the approach that I took, is there's really no rush to learn or to make thousands of dollars immediately from the get-go. And I feel like that's a misconception a lot of people
have. Especially because there's a ton of people that just started investing this week because of everything that's going on. And it's really important to know that what's going on this week is not what's going to happen every single week. So you're not just going to become a day trader and make $100,000 every day and retire when you're 20.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, especially with our current market, if like a lot of people that like they just get into investing and they put like 100 shares of GameStop in, and then the next day their stock rises 80% and they think, oh my god, this stock stuff is so easy, like I don't get why, like, you know what I mean, like I don't get why people have to go to school to this, yada yada yada, like.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of people, this might start them off on the wrong foot, because the GameStop and like this AMC, BB, Nokia, like this whole thing is kind of, I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but it's pretty unprecedented in the market. So I feel like a lot of beginning investors might get the wrong idea from this, and they might just YOLO 100 shares and think the same thing's going to happen. But that, you know, as we probably know, if you have any experience in the stock market, you know, the odds of this happening again, I mean, I think are pretty low. So,
with that being said, there are very good ways to make money in the stock market. I mean, look at legendary investor Aiden Ford himself. Yeah. Is up 71% in 6 months, is it?
Yeah.
So, if you want mid to long term investment advice, how to get started, what to know. You should,
look,
check us out.
So the way that I feel like, all right, I don't mean to like, I feel like a lot of older people maybe kind of aren't keeping up with the current market right now. So at least from my experience, the 6 months in the market, I could be speaking out of my ass. My experience so far with the 6 months in the market is it's not really so much of the valuation of certain companies. Like if you look at a company like Tesla, right? If you look purely based off of PE values and their sales and everything like that, they are by far like completely overvalued on every single possible way that you look at it. But had you invested 6 months ago, like I did, you would have made 100% returns on your thing. So I feel like right now in the current market conditions, you need to focus on where's the hype going. You got to understand, like especially with these new waves of investors, people don't necessarily look for valuation. Look for the hype and where things are, because that's where the real money is. Also, and with me, like the way that I trade or like the way that I invest is if I like, I try and think of potential problems in the in the near future within like 5 years or so, and I definitely see like electric cars and everything like that becoming a major player, and I just believe that's where the whole car market is going. If you look at places like China, they're putting in regulations. They want to have all electric vehicles in by 2035 and everything like that.
Police are converting.
Yeah, exactly. So that I just believe like there's so many in like Tesla and those like green companies, the companies that are pushing for sustainability, that's the name of the game. They're all getting tax credits and shit like that. So it's, I just believe that's kind of like the opportunity right now in the market.
I agree with you there.
For sure. Let's talk about stocks we like.
Stocks we like?
Yeah.
Do you have a list of stocks?
Well, of course. Like? So obviously I just said Tesla. I'm a big supporter in that. I'm also a big supporter in NIO, which is another electric car company. It's based in China. I could go on like a rant about NIO and everything like that, but it's the whole EV sector is completely exploding right now, and I believe there's a pretty big market right there. Let me think. I also think the whole tech sector right now is obviously it's super hot. So I think if you invest in like you can invest in like I don't know, Microsoft or like Apple, but those companies so far over the past few weeks have been doing pretty well itself. I believe like I personally also don't believe in like diversification, which is kind of a hot take. Like I feel like I feel like if you there's a company that you truly believe in and you're willing to invest money in, it's like, I mean, I feel like if you do it correctly, there should be no other, like, I don't know, you should just invest all of your money, or not all of it, but you should invest a decent amount of money where you see, like, where you believe it's, like, a really good opportunity.
So you think if you're confident enough and you're good enough at doing your research, diversification is not needed?
No, well, I mean, of course, like, I don't believe, like, 100% in one stock, necessarily. But I believe, like, as long as you can handle volatility, like, the majority of all of my capital is, of course, like, in the tech sector and, like, the EV, like, that whole area. As long as you can handle volatility and understand, like, look, you're going to have days where you lose $1,200. That has happened to me very recently with this market tanking, where you're down $1,200, but you understand, like, look, these investments that I've made, this is just short-term price action. Eventually in the long term, like I always think like a year from now, before I click that buy button on a stock, I'm like, a year from now, do I think this stock is going to be in a much better place? And if I believe so, along with some other factors that go into my decision, then I'll probably invest in it. But like companies like GM or like, I don't know, just like companies that like don't really innovate that much, I'm like,
GM just announced that they're going to be fully electric by 2025.
Really?
Yes.
That is interesting, but I still believe Tesla is the better investment. I still believe so, because Tesla's just miles ahead.
All right, and that's another thing that I want to touch upon is kind of like your philosophies in the market, because a lot of people in the market right now that just started are here or they're in the market or are interested in investing because of the GameStop stuff and everything like that. So, I mean, a lot of people probably don't even know what a short is and why GameStop was going up so much. They just decided to put a bunch of money in because that's what everyone was telling them to do. But I think the most important part about being successful is just doing your research and seeing where the hype is and, you know, listening to the Saviors podcast.
Pretty much.
And pretty much just doing everything you can, because like what he said when he, before he clicks that buy button, he thinks, "What? Where will this be in a year from now?" And it's important to know that stocks do not only go up, contrary to popular belief. So you have to be confident. You have to have a good thesis on what you think this stock is going to do, and you just have to believe in what you're investing in.
Yeah,
you can't just invest in it because someone on TikTok told you to.
Yeah, like see a problem that you see in the world is, and like a company that's fixing that, like a major problem that you see in the world, and find a company that's fixing that. From there, do a little bit of research. I mean, personally, if you want to go, like sometimes I'll look at companies, not always, but I'll look at a company's balance sheet and just look at how they're doing from that perspective, just to make sure that, you know, they're not completely dying out. Just do your research and everything like that on a stock, and if you're confident enough, just invest in it. And that's at least that's for long term. But in short term, I feel like I want to talk to like the people listening to this. There is like an easy way to make cash. It's just like look for major dips, like Facebook. I use that as an example, like when they banned Donald Trump or whatever or something like that from a platform. They took like a $30 hit to their stock price, and you see that and you're like, oh wow, like that's crazy. But like look at that as like an opportunity almost, because like every reaction in the stock market is an overreaction. So I knew that by like that giant stock hit. I mean, Facebook is like, let's be honest, it's probably not gonna go bankrupt anytime soon. So
I'll back you on that.
Yeah. So it's like just like I saw that massive dip, and I'll be like. I'll like put in 2 shares for that, and then boom, I make a quick 30-40 bucks off of that, and that's just easy money in the market you can make. So
you want to get into entrepreneurship, little easy ways to make passive income?
Yeah, you want to start us off with that?
I mean, there's a billion ways to make passive income, and you don't have to be making like $5,000 a month or anything like that to be having success in making passive income. Like what he just said with Facebook, like if he makes 30 or 40 bucks, that's good, because he just made 30 or 40 bucks.
Four Chipotle burritos you did not have to pay for.
Yeah, exactly. Like you don't have to be pulling in astronomical numbers every day or every month to be having success. So with entrepreneurship, you can do pretty much the best way to monetize your life is to just monetize your everyday life. Pick the thing that you do the most, or the thing that you're most passionate about, and try to monetize it. Like
for you,
for me, I make music and I love making music and I listen to a bunch of music, so I'm recording music and I'm trying to monetize music. And I have songs coming out soon, and I'm going to be promoting them, and I'm going to be trying to make music or try to make money off of them. If you spend all your time playing video games, you might as well stream. And even if you make a couple bucks, you're making more than you would have if you didn't stream.
That's a ball.
So that's the best way to make passive income, is to just monetize your everyday life, and whatever you do the most, just research it and try to make money off of it.
Amen. I agree with that. I mean, at least for me, like I found like a really deep passion, obviously, for in like the stock market, and I just like I'm constantly watching ways to better myself, especially as a beginning investor. I feel like that's something that a lot of people might undervalue, is just look into the activities or the hobbies that you're interested in, and find ways to monetize it. Like off of like my banker rating thing on Instagram, Like, I thought it was, like, the funniest thing in the world to create, like, a merchandise. So, I thought that was funny, and I thought that was cool. So, I bought 6 shirts, and I, like, you know what I mean? I sold them for, like, barely any profit. But it's, like, at the end of the day, like Ross said, you don't need to be making an absurd amount of money. Like I don't even know if I made $20 on that merch drop right there. Like, and I put, like, hours of work into it. But it's, like, you know, it's also teaching you the skills to become an entrepreneur, because at such a young age, you know what I mean, like at a young age, like, we don't need to be making hundreds of dollars every single day, you know what I mean? Every move we need to make does not need to be necessarily revolved around money. But something like me selling shirts, or with Ross learning to market a song, learning to sell stuff, that's teaching you, like, in the entrepreneurial spirit. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I feel like that's really good practice, is just putting yourself out there.
So then later down the line, when you are in a position to make a bunch of money, or if you do have that opportunity, you're more well-versed and you're well-prepared and you know kind of what to do.
Precisely, yeah. And, like, especially a lot of people, I feel like when they get older, they get really caught up. Like, the amount of people that have only one source of income at the age of 50, I think is shocking. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like you should always be trying to find ways to I guess diversify your sources of money, like rental apartments, obviously the stocks, I don't know, selling like a candy on the side or something. Literally. Like that, you know what I mean? Like,
flip shoes.
Yeah.
Do anything.
Like imagine, like, a few $100, especially at art, like, and that's totally doable. A few $100 a month is quite a bit of money for, you know what
for
I mean?
Kids our age, that's huge.
Yeah. And like, off of, like, something like passive, or like he said also, like, something you're passionate about. Like, that's a lot of, you know, for something you, like, enjoy doing, a few $100 is quite a bit.
Huh?
So, do you want to get into, what about the, do you want to talk about the, let's get into GameStop. Into GameStop. All
right.
And everything, this is probably the reason why you're listening to this. So, let's start from the beginning, how this whole thing started with the GameStop drama and everything like that. So, pretty much, just like a quick rundown, a bunch of people on Reddit in this forum or whatever called Wall Street Bets found out that GameStop was one of the most shorted, or the most shorted stock on the stock market, and it had something like 113% of the stocks were shorted, which is over, like, the amount of shares that are actually available. So from there, they found this little loophole, like, they did a short squeeze or whatever, so people pretty much just bought the stock, and it forced it forced the companies that shorted the stock to rebuy the stock. So it's just like an infinite money glitch, the GameStop infinite money glitch. And pretty much the hedge funds, because they shorted the stock, are losing billions and billions of dollars now due to a bunch of people on a Reddit betting on GameStop stock. So that's like...
And the reason it's going up as much as it is because when all the Redditors bought the stock, the hedge fund owners had to also buy shares in the stock to try to cover the losses they were taking from shorting it, so that caused it to go up even more.
Precisely. I kind of want to get into so after giving that, like, brief, very vague explanation, I kind of want to get into the corruption that is currently going on in the stock market right now.
Robin Hood is Robin the Hood.
Literally.
And we need to put a stop to it.
Here, explain to them what Robin Hood is doing that kind of pissed everybody off.
So what Robin Hood, well, a lot of brokerage accounts, really. Robin Hood, I think TD Webull did it.
I heard rumors that Charles Schwab did it.
Pretty much everyone did.
Like the major brokerages, yeah.
Yeah, and what they did was they saw that these stocks, GME, AMC, BlackBerry, Nokia, all of these stocks were reaching astronomical numbers.
Way above valuation.
Way above what they're worth.
Not trading on fundamentals at all.
And so they realized that these hedge fund owners were losing billions of dollars, and Wall Street was going to shit, pretty much. And so they restricted... There was a day, I think it was Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
When if you logged into your Robinhood account, you could not buy. You could only sell your position. And you couldn't sell partials either. You had to your entire position. Mm-hmm. That's why people were freaking out. I think it was number one trending on Twitter for like a whole day.
Yeah. Well, it was big on pretty much every single mainstream media outlet. You would see something about that. Like I know in my feed at least.
Yeah.
That was like, especially on people like you don't even think are in the stock market, were tweeting out or like posting on their stories that like, yo, this is fucked, yeah, and everything like that. And I think one of the reasons people are going at Robinhood so much is, first of all, I'm not making any allegations, but I'm pretty positive that's stock manipulation. Like, I like
if any 100% is market manipulation.
Yeah, because if anybody knows, like the more you buy a stock, obviously the more it goes up. So by not allowing the buying part going happening, the only way a stock can go is pretty much down or hold. So that's, you know, and that's working in favor of the big banks.
They were forcing a crash.
Yeah, they were forcing a crash, which is like messed up, because a lot of people like the people that invest in these companies, especially the new ones who just heard about this on the news.
Yeah.
People are just putting like their rents or whatever. I mean, obviously that's dumb.
Like these people on Reddit, like they're obviously, it's like a meme, yeah, but these people, especially in the Wall Street Bets like Discord and stuff, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they were putting in, there's people that were putting in like hundreds of thousands of dollars to GameStop, yeah, and stuff, because it just kept going up.
Yeah.
And they're just forcing a crash, and they're screwing over pretty much all of their customers. I think a stat came out where it was like 70% of all Robinhood accounts had a position in GameStop.
Really? Yeah. Jeez.
And to just screw, like, that's 70% is a ridiculous amount, yeah, of people.
And it's just was like honest Pete, it's like the thing is that it's not just like these billionaires, like the people that invest their money on Robinhood, the majority of them are all retail investors, and they're just honest people trying to make a living, and they see this going on in the market, and you know, they want to catch the train. So but by Robinhood forcing a crash, you know what I mean, like that's people's like money that,
yeah,
you know what I mean, like
And that was Robinhood's whole philosophy, was democratizing the stock market and making...
Yeah, they put out like a tweet saying like, let the people trade. Yeah. Fast forward to now, it says like, oh, we're restricting it due to... And they're just making a bunch of bogus claims and everything like that about they need like capital requirements and everything like that, and how they're protecting their clients. But I think I've heard from some sources that apparently since Robinhood is having their IPO coming out soon or something like that, they need to keep good relations with the hedge funds and everything like that on Wall Street. Yeah. So, because from there, and obviously those hedge funds are losing billions of dollars due to GameStop. So by kind of shutting down that whole GameStop thing, they're kind of getting on their good side and everything like that. So that's messed up. And the worst part about this is I don't even think people are going to go to jail over this. Like, that's the sad part. Yeah. Like, the same thing happened in 2008. Right, with the stock market crash, everything crashed with the mortgages. I'm pretty sure like all the big banks and, you know, like hedge funds, they just got bailed out. Nobody even went to jail for what's happening.
If you want a good understanding of what's happening, watch The Big Short.
Bro, that is one of my favorite movies.
It's a great movie. It's a very informative movie.
And it's the scary thing about it is that it's completely based on, like, it's factual.
Yeah.
You know?
Everything that happened in that movie happened in real life.
Exactly. And but granted, it's a little bit, if you have no idea anything to do with like finance or any like business, it's pretty like, it's like, even for like someone like me who's like heavily into it, it's pretty,
it's a lot of information.
It is. It's a lot to take in, but if you're at all interested in finance, business, the stock market, investing, I definitely recommend giving that a look. So,
100%.
I think, Ross, what do you, I know you're new to investing, but what do you, especially after this pretty crappy week in the market, in terms of overall, the overall health in the market, we've taken a pretty decent dip. What do you think on a stock market crash of 2021, especially with the prices of stocks absolutely going haywire, going parabolic? What do you think about a stock market crash, or maybe like a pullback, a correction?
I mean, I think it's definitely possible. And on top of everything that's been happening this week, I forget what they're called, but the banks are literally doing what they were doing in 2008 mm-hmm. with those like recycled bonds, pretty much, mm-hmm. and they're overvaluing them, and it's literally the exact thing that happened in 2008 that caused the market to crash. So I don't think the crash is going to be nearly as bad as in 2008, because we've learned a lot from that crash. Mm-hmm. But literally the exact same trends and the exact same patterns are happening. So at least a severe dip
or correction, right?
Correction is probably, I don't want to say inevitable, but I agree with what you said.
I don't believe there's going to be a crash, because I believe in order for a crash to occur, nobody really has to see it coming. That's kind of like the point of a crash, and the point of a bubble is you don't really know. And like with the pandemic, that was a crash, because that kind of just
no one saw it coming.
And like literally within 2 weeks, like it went from everything being completely fine to there being absolutely, you know what I mean, like nobody leave your house, everything like that. So
yeah,
nobody saw that coming. But I feel like a crash or like a pullback in 2021 has been talked a lot about. So I feel like that, I don't want to say it's been factored in, but it's definitely not going to be a shock to many investors. Granted, I do agree with you that there is going to be, maybe not 100%, but I do believe there is like a solid chance of there being a correction, because it's just like, I mean, I don't have a ton of time in the market, but it just seems kind of weird that all of a sudden, like, you can pretty much invest in almost any stock. If you invested in almost any stock 6 months ago, and like you hold it till now, like odds are you've probably made, you know, money off of it.
Yeah.
And if you have like any idea what you're doing, I mean, it's not difficult to make pretty solid money. You know what I mean? It's not difficult to make pretty solid money off of something. So
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the way that prices are going right now in the stock market, 'cause you just look. And almost every single time I look back at a stock I was looking at months ago, it's just gone up like pretty decently in value. So I feel like it's a little iffy and it's a little sketchy. So, yeah. So, Connor, what are we at?
28.
I guess.
Anything else you'd like to touch on?
I think for right now, I mean, we kind of got everything out of our system, just giving out our philosophies, and
yeah.
And again, we'll be back with some more current information eventually in the coming weeks, but.
And we'll be diving much further into depth on topics.
For sure.
But yeah, pretty much, we're making this to help, just like, look, I mean, we're average Joes.
Yeah.
But we want to help other average Joes if they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
And especially after the events of this week, there's probably a bunch of people out there that have no idea what they're doing and just got into it because of all the hype around it. And now they're like, oh, well, what do I do now? And so hopefully we can help at least a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to
finish up on? We're just like, pretty much we're just putting the viewer in the perspective of a beginner investor, a beginner entrepreneur. So with each step you take, we take a step as well. And that's pretty much, we're just giving our perspectives on things and how we're trying to better ourselves. So other than that, I guess that concludes the first episode of
the inaugural episode.
Yeah, and
it's in the books.
We'll be back every single week, and we'll be on TikTok too.
We will be on TikTok. The Savior's PC on TikTok. Yeah,
Savior's PC.
So follow.
So, all right. Thank you guys for listening.
It's been a pleasure.
As
always,
stay rich. Take our hands to financial freedom.